All right, you
guys can come back in now. Sit down, Andrew. So yeah, like John said, we were asked to just kind of look back over the last year and share if there was any major faith trials that we've been through, anything specific that God's been growing us in. And for me, there's been a lot of different things. 2012 has been a crazy year for us. We've moved twice. We had a baby. I've been in school full-time, working full-time, working on a new business, being involved in church. So there's been a million things going on. A lot of different things to choose from, but I think the biggest faith trial that we kind of went through, and it's really been a long process over the last couple years, it really involves just decision-making and planning for the future of our family, trying to figure out where we want to be in a few years, where we want to be in the next couple years, ultimately where God wants us to be, what's important in life, all that kind of stuff. As most of you know, I'm from Texas, and I've kind of had a heart for Texas really since I left years ago. I've had a desire to go back there and be involved in different things. I have a lot of family down there. So there's just a lot of different reasons that I've kind of always had a heart to go back there. We came fairly close to actually moving about a little over a year ago. But through a lot of prayer and talking with the pastors, we decided to wait for a little while and stay here and see what God continued to have for us. And over the last year, up until a few months ago, we were still really kind of believing that's where God was leading us and that's where he was wanting us to go. So it was a big trial going through that and just praying through it. There's a lot of different things that go into why we would want to go or why we would want to stay. So yeah, we've been praying a lot about it. We sought a lot of counsel about it, and ultimately we realized that we wanted to stay here, and that God wanted us to stay here. And the reason is, it's kind of what really has the conviction we've come to that's really solidified why we want to stay. There's a few different reasons, but one, I think I've really realized that the most important thing is who we're around, more so than where we're at. And I think God's really called us to be committed to a group of people, first and foremost, his body, and then where we're at with that body, reaching out to the people in the community. So I really believe he's called us to be committed to this group of people here. Another huge reason is, you know, I really trust the leadership that we're under. I really love Pat and Chris. You know, I trust them. I trust their planning for the future. I trust everything they have, and finding good leadership to bring yourself under is not an easy thing to do. So, like I said, it's been a very hard decision. There's sacrifice that I'm giving up. You know, eventually God may call us back there, but right now he has us here. He has us committed to this group of people, and I think we're going to be here for a long time until he takes us elsewhere. But I think we're going to be committed to this body, the relationships that we have here, for a long time. So I'm excited to see what comes from that. But so within that, deciding that we want to stay committed here, there's been a lot of lessons God's been teaching me of what that looks like practically, because it's easy to make that decision, but it's hard to day in, day out, really have a good attitude about it. Loveland isn't my ideal place to be. There's a lot of other locations I'd rather be, but I really want to be here in the relationships that we're involved in now. So anyway, some of those lessons, and I'm not the only one. I think God's really been working this in the hearts of a lot of people here, but he's teaching me to be perseverant and have an enduring attitude in the midst of just everything that's been going on with the church, all the changes, the new direction, all that kind of stuff. But some things that have really kind of helped me in dealing with that and being persevering, I realize a lot of times I'm always looking to the next season of life. I'm always kind of looking forward and wanting to just get through what I'm going through now and then move on to the next step that God has for us. But I think we really miss a lot of things when we do that, because everything, all the obstacles that are in our lives, the trials we're going through, he has in our life for a very specific reason. He's molding us and he's shaping us for the future, for that next step. And if we're not really aware of that and focusing on that, we're not going to be ready for that next step. We may never even get to it. So trying to have focus on what he's teaching me now, what is in my life for a specific reason. And really, I was thinking about this the other day. There's no way I can fulfill what he has for me right now apart from the Spirit working in me. There's no way I can be a good husband, a good father, good student, good worker, good friend. All those things I'm completely ill-equipped to do on my own. But then on the flip side of that, I think I realize also we can get so nearsighted and so focused on the obstacles and things that we have going on in our lives right now that we forget that there's a bigger picture and that there is something that God is working in us for the future. And whenever I kind of can have that bigger perspective of what's coming in the future, even when I don't know exactly, but a lot of the things that the stressors in our lives are very temporary, be it, you know, certain relational stressors, work, whatever, a lot of that is very temporary, and there's going to be other things in the future. So he's really trying to teach me to be persevering, have an enduring spirit, and whenever you do that, I think I've noticed I have a lot more joy in my life. Because whenever I'm just focusing on the future, the joy of what I should be doing now is kind of gets robbed from me, and I can't do it because I'm just focusing so much on the future. So within that, there's been a lot of other things God's working in us, but I'd say that was probably the biggest faith trial that I've gone through. There's a verse that I've come back to a lot this year. I don't know how it fits exactly what I was just talking about, but it's a verse I've come back to quite a bit over the last couple months. It's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So that idea of the weapons of our warfare have the power to destroy strongholds. We all have strongholds in our lives. Maybe they're emotional strongholds, they're whatever, bad habits, but the Holy Spirit, our weapons of warfare, can destroy those things and completely overcome them within us. So that's a verse I've come back to a lot as we've just been trying to keep enduring here and do it with a good attitude, and we're excited about what God's going to do in us and through us and with all of you. So.
Well, this last week, once I was asked if I would share about 2012 and what I had learned through it, I kind of thought about the fact that most testimonies about trials and things are usually at the end of a trial, and people look back and say, oh, look at how God has done all these amazing things. But I feel like we're in the middle of the trial. We're only like 1/4 of the way through probably one of the biggest and most difficult things that we've been through. In the last year, if you were to look up like the top 10 most stressful things that you can go through, I think we've probably gone through like 6 or 7 of those top 10 this last year. You know, we got Leo was diagnosed with Lyme disease this last year. We opened a new business. We went through 2 pretty significant construction remodels. We found out that we were pregnant, and so while she's also dealing with Lyme disease, so financial struggles, you know, the list could go on and on. But as we look back at the last year, our goal has been to walk with God through it all, because of the fact that a few years ago I was diagnosed with a colon condition called ulcerative colitis, which is also a chronic disease that can take several months or years to recover from if you do. And during that time when I was sick, and I actually ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks, and then had another 6 or 7 months of recovery after the hospital stay before I was better. And during that time, I felt like, looking back at it, I feel like we just kind of holed up and waited it out and just said, you know, we're not going to walk, we didn't end up really walking with God through that time. We just kind of waited until I was better, and then we started walking with God again. And so our whole goal through this process of Lyme disease has been to walk with God. And so I wanted to share just a couple things that have really helped us in the midst of our two or three things that has really made a difference for us in walking with God through this. The first of which has been how important it has been for me to go out and get time alone with God, like on a deeper level. A verse that has been really foundational for my life has been Mark 1:35, which says that Jesus got up early and went out to into the wilderness, and there he prayed. And so it's kind of become a habit and a pattern in our lives that at least once a week. Right now it's every Saturday morning I get up at 5 and go out into the wilderness someplace and spend a couple hours praying. And that time, usually what it usually looks like is something I call spiritual breathing. Like the first hour or two is the time where I exhale, which is pretty raw and pretty real. I get all the junk that's in my life. I yell, I cry, I curse. It's the junk from the week is what comes out during that first time. It's just get it all out of my system, just whatever it is that's been going on. And so like I go out to Centara. There's a sculpture garden out there that has paths, and 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, there's never anybody there. And so I can go out and do whatever I want, and no one will ever hear anything I say or never see me. You know, I can deny that I cried to anyone, and then I can be really real with God and just not just sit in my basement and try to, you know, mentally do it. I can verbally let it all out. And then after that, after I get it all out of my system, that's the exhaling part, then I'll inhale and I'll go and I'll sit in a coffee shop and I'll read the Bible for an hour. And just, you know, this summer I lived in the Psalms, just breathing in the promises, breathing in the realities of God and really seeing the truth. And that just refreshed my soul. Like Leah says, that she can tell now when I've been doing that regularly or when I haven't. You know, that there's just, I just have a different countenance about me when I'm exhaling and inhaling correctly. And then also this summer, I made some pretty significant choices to not let myself be so isolated. Because looking back when I was sick, it really was. I was an island for those 6 months or more. I just suffered and just was by myself. And so I realized that was kind of what was happening again after the month of July, when Leah was so sick that she could barely have the strength to get from the bed to the couch. And that was about all that she did for the day. That I felt like I was just, for that month, I was just trying to keep our collective, our family's head above water. And then, but I also was realizing that I was by myself almost completely, and I needed to get some help, and I couldn't do it by myself. And so I sought out, I went out, and I took initiative, because I felt like I was kind of just waiting for people to notice that I was suffering and wait and just, you know, then I was getting into this thought pattern, and it was getting darker and darker as the thought pattern kept going. And I just realized that I had to fight against my flesh and fight against that desire to just be by myself. And so I went out and I sought out a running mate and I sought out a mentor, and I went and took the initiative to do that instead of just be by myself. Because it can, you know, you can get just sucked into that pattern of a darker and darker thought pattern. And especially when, you know, you're going through extremely difficult trials. And the last thing that I want to share this was something that Lee and I, is kind of something we're always trying to do, is just have that grateful and thankful heart. And I feel like that has been really essential to us. Because, you know, if you, like, the best way I can describe it is, like, you know, it's like a hurricane, and you've got the eye of the hurricane, and that's where all the dark and difficult things that you're going that are going on in your life are right there in the eye, and you can just get sucked into that, or like a black hole, you just get sucked into that. And I think that that can easily just be, you just live in all the hard things and the difficult things that are going on. And I felt like I was getting very close to being sucked into that word, you know, depression and just really hard thoughts of, you know, what is God doing? Has God given up on us? You know, lots of things I had never thought before about my relationship with God. But what we did, what we've done is just trying to look at the whole picture and live more out here than not just in that eye. Like, we try to think of all the different things that we can be thankful for, all the different things that we can be grateful for. And there were nights that in our desire, our fight for our own hearts to be encouraged and our fight for our own hearts to have joy, we would just sit in our bed and just list everything that we could think of that came to mind that we were thankful for. And we were just always looking for those things and always looking for anything we could be thankful for. And that just, in a lot of ways, kept our faith and our hearts afloat this summer. And so I just wanted to close by actually sharing a quick verse, or one verse that has been one that I've been holding on to also all year long, is Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord."
I actually need something to hold my notes. Yeah, don't let this scare you. It's not that much. I just don't have the memory that Jason and Mike do. So if I don't have notes, you'll hear about 25 half sentences, and that's about it, with no complete thoughts. So something that it's encouraging to hear Jason, because it actually, God has a way of dovetailing these things together, I think, well, at least in my mind. In this past year, it's more of a, less than a specific experience and more of a general, my heart and who I am over the past couple years, I would say. And that's really the understanding of God's authority in my life, or in my case, the lack thereof. I definitely don't live in a way, those of you who know me, that gives away any authority over myself to anyone, and that includes God. And so that's something that God's really been, excuse me, working on me with. In fact, the more I probed through it, the more I realized in the course of my life, I've pursued every opportunity to eliminate any kind of authority from my life. You know, being self-employed, just jobs, just everything I do, I don't put myself in places where anybody else can be in charge. Some of that's out of self-defense, because when I was there, it was always a bad experience. But some of it's just being a control freak and not having a clear understanding that God's in charge even when there's other human beings involved. So that's something that God's weighed every, you know, when I pray, and which is not consistently enough, God constantly weighs that in my heart, which I know is probably an odd thing for some of you. It's you know, I've worked against that. So I'm trying to let God lead in my life in a perfect way, in a more perfect way. One of the things that came to mind, a verse that I had read, which is not too dissimilar to what Jason read, was Psalm 86, 1 through 7. It said, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I do lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding steadfast in love when I call upon you." And then at 7 it says, in the day of my trouble I call upon you and you answer me. Well, those are all things where David, who is in authority, was constantly giving all of his authority back to God. Just something that I will freely tell you I do not do. I definitely take the perspective that it will all work out if everyone recognizes that I need to be in charge. Some of you that know me realize that's actually true. I'm not just saying that as a joke. I do respond that way. So learning to let God truly be my king. And a king not in the sense of my leader, but a king in that having authority over my life, my death, my family, my children, my finances. A full king. A king in the old sense, when they were speaking of it, had full power. I mean, in England, the monarch was, he owned the people. That's how it was seen. Physically owned them. And they were subjects to him. And so to see God that way is just so against my flesh. In fact, I really always had the issue with when we come to church and sing. For the first 15 years, literally, I was a Christian. Somebody would use the word worship, and I just cringe. Worship made me think of these weak pagan people on their knees looking for someone to help, and I couldn't stand that position of being weak and subject to him. So it's something God just is like, but you are weak, and you are subject to me. So why is that wrong? But it was not a natural way for me to think. It still isn't. So I want to give God, I mean, just the thing I want to, I want to do, and I do partially, but it's, I will fully tell you I haven't got this down, or if we ever do, I just want to have that, him to have that authority and power in all my decisions throughout my day. To give up my own will, to be willing to take the assumptions I bring to my life. I make lots of assumptions that in this environment, you know, say family-wise or financially and everything, it's going to go this way. I'm going to set specific goals. I'm very goal-oriented, and I organize those, and I'm going to set specific goals. And God needs to, well, bless my goals, of course, and comply with my ideas about this. But to say, nah, I would look, you know, what are God's goals? So that's something you guys can definitely pray for me. So that's my prayer really for this next year, is to continue to be in pursuit of letting God be and fully have me, to set aside my assumptions, and not to spend a bunch of time worrying about what it is that I assume or everybody else assumes my life must do or directions it must go. So I hope that makes sense to a few of you. I know it's kind of an odd way, an introspective thing to hear about, but it's definitely the direction I've been struggling.
Thanks, Les. Okay, so as we were driving here tonight, I felt a twinge from God to pray about what I was going to talk about, what I had been thinking about all week, and really felt like the Spirit was leading me to talk about something else. So I kind of have anxiety because I haven't prepared for what I'm going to say. You know, when Sarah and I first came here, which was, I think, about 3 years ago, it was clearly God leading us. We'd been married for a couple years and just had absolutely no direction whatsoever for our marriage, for our lives, for anything really. And the direction from the leadership of this church, combined with us really beginning to pursue God and really seek his word, really gave our family a sense of purpose. It gave me a sense of purpose, an identity that I could cling to, something that I could search for. And so all that's really, really good, but in that there's been a lot of anxiety and struggle, because oftentimes I see this vision of masculinity, of what a man should be, and I just don't feel like I embody very many of those things. And you know, when you look at other people, you tend to see, you don't see their flaws nearly as well as you see your own. And so it kind of creates this unrealistic impression. And so for me, it's just been this real struggle to, seek God to help me to be the man that I need to be, without just constantly being down on myself about that. So like examples would be mostly in leadership. You know, one of the things that God calls us to, that the examples of you know, the men of the Bible and the leaders in this church are really, really good about, is calling men to be leaders. And that's something that the world doesn't really do. Men are encouraged to be passive in most ways in the world, and definitely you see that in sitcoms and so on and so forth. But that's just such a great blessing, and yet it's really overwhelming right when you start right away and try and embody that, I guess. So anyway, so one of the things that I've been praying specifically for God to do over the last year is to help me to walk, to get past my childhood affections and pursue, find affection in the things that God wants me to do and wants me to pursue. So specifically just like finding a lot of joy in things like video games. That was a really big part of my childhood growing up, me and my brothers playing video games. And so I just started praying for God to shift my affections. And it was really just a couple months ago that I had this moment of clarity where I realized how much I've actually changed in the last year. And not by my own strength, but by God just shaping me. Where I just realized that the things that I used to find such joy in, the things that I used to just wait for that free moment where I could do whatever, pursue my own thing, finally do my own thing, it wasn't filling me up at all. I just felt empty when I pursued those things. And that was just God changing my heart. And at the same time, starting to get to a point where when I am able to go out of my comfort zone and pursue his kingdom and his mission in my life, a real joy and contentment comes upon me rather than just dread. So that's a constant work in progress. But yeah, I guess I have a couple verses I want to share, which I did not write down. So Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." And then again, Romans 12, 2, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So I guess my message for other people, both men and everyone here, is just, we are called to such a glorious standard by God, and that's a praise. But the reality is we're really, really broken. And the world today has not done a very good job of preparing us to be those people. And so I think it's okay to take comfort in the fact that each of us probably feels like we're a far ways away from where God wants us to be today. But that's okay. And we can't do that on our own. That transformation can't happen on our own. So we can pursue it. We should pray for it regularly and desire to grow in those ways. But we have to have a sense of peace that it's God and not us in the meantime and in the midst of it. And that's what I'm trying to do, is just to find peace in the midst of that and not dwell on what people might think of me or how I pursue my identity or my shortcomings in the midst of that. So one thing I wanted to just invite everyone to is if we could just break it down into groups of three or four people. And just, I guess, as you guys, if you've had a chance to just kind of reflect on the last year and maybe the year ahead, if there's just something specific that you could share in your life that you really feel like God is leading you to pursue him, to help you change or shift or grow. Preferably if it's something specific, I think we all have things that we're always going to desire to be more prayerful. But that might be your thing. I'm not saying that it's not, but but if it can be something really specific or really relevant today, I think that'd really be a glory to be able to share that and just be able to take a few minutes and pray for one another for that. So. Well, God, I just thank you for this year, Lord. Even in the midst of all the struggles and the hard times that these men shared and that all of us have gone through, Lord, you are moving and you are working, and you use every trial, Lord, to make us stronger and to prepare us for a glorious future that you have for us, for your kingdom to be built. And I just pray, Lord, that your wisdom would lead us in this coming year to pursue you, to find our identity in you, to seek you in our ways, Lord, to just have clarity about the future and your will, Lord, and that we may trust you in all things and know that you use all things for your good. In Jesus' name, amen.